Tarea 3.
Traffic. After receding for years during the global pandemic, it is returning to cities, small and large, around the United States. Debates over what to do about it never ended. The average American driver lost 51 hours and $869 in valued time by sitting in traffic in 2022. In 2019, before the pandemic, it cost the average American nearly 100 hours and nearly $1,400. Proposed solutions often include widening roads, adding public transit, building denser cities, and charging people to drive at certain times. That last is currently on the table in places such as New York, and it has met with fierce opposition from both sides of the political spectrum. Despite this, some say congestion pricing is the only way to directly reduce traffic in the long run in crowded, expensive cities like New York, where building just a mile of road or subway track can easily cost billions of dollars. In the long run, widening roads doesn't work. In 2011, two economists published this paper, basically providing evidence of something called the fundamental law of highway congestion, a term that was first proposed by economist Anthony Downs in 1962. That law basically says, if you build it, they will come. The Sepulveda Pass stretch of Interstate 405 in Los Angeles is one example. After a $1 billion widening project, a USC-affiliated news group found traffic actually worsened. Turner and Duranton found that when cities add 1% of lane miles to major roads or highways, they soon see a 1% increase in the total miles driven in the city. They saw that when they looked at road capacity and traffic data in a single city over time, and when they compared cities to each other. They also simulated a randomized controlled trial too impractical to run in real life. Using what Turner calls statistical tricks, the team added a 1% increase in lane miles to a model of half of the cities in metropolitan areas in the U.S. and not the other. They saw the same 1% vehicle miles traveled increase they found elsewhere. That suggested expanding roads caused people to drive more. This phenomenon is sometimes called induced demand, and today few dispute it exists. This fundamental law holds that building more transit, building denser, more walkable cities, or adding bike lanes doesn't really solve the problem either, since those things are also subject to induced demand. The solution is simple. Use pricing to divert drivers away from using roads at times when they are busiest and toward times when demand is lower. New York's plan to price congestion is a cordon plan, meaning there is a line or cordon that runs from the bottom of Manhattan to 60th Street. Any car entering this zone on the island would have to pay a toll. For cars entering the district during peak hours, the fees could range from $9 to $23, depending on which plan under consideration the city chooses to adopt. Prices would be lower during off-peak hours and overnight. There also would be a 100% tax credit for people who live in Manhattan and who make less than $60,000 per year. Over time, added lanes may once again fill up with traffic, but the picture is nuanced.
Just like congestion doesn't have a single cause, there isn't a single solution. And for the most part, we recommend more of everything. In growing regions, especially where there's high population growth and high job growth, we almost have to look at capacity improvements.
Bill Isley works at the Texas Transportation Institute at Texas A&M University. The institute puts out a widely cited annual urban mobility report.
Capacity improvements really do help. Adding lanes sometimes gets a bad rap because people will look out there and they say, well, that road is filled up again. Perhaps you've wasted our money on this. But as we look at that a little bit closer, that traffic that's been generated by the road or that suddenly appears to be created was actually on the transportation system already. They could have been travelers that were on a different route, taking a different mode, or perhaps traveling at a different time of the day.
Traffic can be caused by several factors. It can be temporary or occasional, like when it is caused by a vehicle accident, road construction, or bad weather. Recurring congestion is the congestion drivers encounter during rush hour or on roads that always seem clogged. But accidents, road construction, bottlenecks, and traffic signals can also worsen that recurring congestion. Addressing those factors can make a difference, at least in the short term. And though public transit, bike lanes, and sidewalks are also subject to induced demand, they still make a difference in the kinds of challenges a city faces.
You could put 500 people into a subway car, right, versus 500 people driving here on K Street, and the magnitude of the impact is completely different. Say the same thing for a bike lane, for example, right? Built a bike lane out here, you have a lot of people using it because there's a lot of demand for that. But the impact of that is not going to be anything that's going to be a major public policy concern like it's going to be when we think about single occupant vehicles or a bunch of trucks that are clogging up the roadways.
One issue all these solutions do have in common, they cost money, all of them. Traffic. After receding for years during the global pandemic, it is returning to cities, small and large, around the United States. Debates over what to do about it never ended. The average American driver lost 51 hours and $869 in valued time by sitting in traffic in 2022. In 2019, before the pandemic, it cost the average American nearly 100 hours and nearly $1,400. Proposed solutions often include widening roads, adding public transit, building denser cities, and charging people to drive at certain times. That last is currently on the table in places such as New York, and it has met with fierce opposition from both sides of the political spectrum. Despite this, some say congestion pricing is the only way to directly reduce traffic in the long run in crowded, expensive cities like New York, where building just a mile of road or subway track can easily cost billions of dollars. In the long run, widening roads doesn't work. In 2011, two economists published this paper, basically providing evidence of something called the fundamental law of highway congestion, a term that was first proposed by economist Anthony Downs in 1962. That law basically says, if you build it, they will come. The Sepulveda Pass stretch of Interstate 405 in Los Angeles is one example. After a $1 billion widening project, a USC-affiliated news group found traffic actually worsened. Turner and Duranton found that when cities add 1% of lane miles to major roads or highways, they soon see a 1% increase in the total miles driven in the city. They saw that when they looked at road capacity and traffic data in a single city over time, and when they compared cities to each other. They also simulated a randomized controlled trial too impractical to run in real life. Using what Turner calls statistical tricks, the team added a 1% increase in lane miles to a model of half of the cities and metropolitan areas in the U.S., and not the other. They saw the same 1% vehicle miles traveled increase they found elsewhere. That suggested expanding roads caused people to drive more. This phenomenon is sometimes called induced demand, and today few dispute it exists. This fundamental law holds that building more transit, building denser, more walkable cities, or adding bike lanes doesn't really solve the problem either, since those things are also subject to induced demand. The solution is simple. Use pricing to divert drivers away from using roads at times when they are busiest and toward times when demand is lower. New York's plan to price congestion is a cordon plan, meaning there is a line or cordon that runs from the bottom of Manhattan to 60th Street. Any car entering this zone on the island would have to pay a toll. For cars entering the district during peak hours, the fees could range from $9 to $23, depending on which plan under consideration the city chooses to adopt. Prices would be lower during off-peak hours and overnight. There also would be a 100% tax credit for people who live in Manhattan and who make less than $60,000 per year. Over time, added lanes may once again fill up with traffic, but the picture is nuanced.
Just like congestion doesn't have a single cause, there isn't a single solution. And for the most part, we recommend more of everything. In growing regions, especially where there's high population growth and high job growth, we almost have to look at capacity improvements.
Bill Isley works at the Texas Transportation Institute at Texas A&M University. The Institute puts out a widely cited annual urban mobility report.
Capacity improvements really do help. Adding lanes sometimes gets a bad rap because people will look out there and they say, well, that road is filled up again. Perhaps you've wasted our money on this. But as we look at that a little bit closer, that traffic that's been generated by the road or that suddenly appears to be created was actually on the transportation system already. They could have been travelers that were on a different route, taking a different mode, or perhaps traveling at a different time of the day.
Traffic can be caused by several factors. It can be temporary or occasional, like when it is caused by a vehicle accident, road construction, or bad weather. Recurring congestion is the congestion drivers encounter during rush hour or on roads that always seem clogged. But accidents, road construction, bottlenecks, and traffic signals can also worsen that recurring congestion. Addressing those factors can make a difference, at least in the short term. And though public transit, bike lanes, and sidewalks are also subject to induced demand, they still make a difference in the kinds of challenges a city faces.
You could put 500 people into a subway car, right, versus 500 people driving here on K Street, and the magnitude of the impact is completely different. Say the same thing for a bike lane, for example, right? Built a bike lane out here, you have a lot of people using it because there's a lot of demand for that. But the impact of that is not going to be anything that's going to be a major public policy concern like it's going to be when we think about single occupant vehicles or a bunch of trucks that are clogging up the roadways.
One issue all these solutions do have in common, they cost money. All of them.